You are going to listen to an interview with Bruce McLeahy, a social scientist, and Aisha Bitton, the chairwoman of the online conference on creating inclusive future cities. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, match the beginnings of the sentences 1 to 8 with the sentence endings A to K. There are two extra sentence endings that you should not use. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers. Welcome to today's interview with Bruce McLeahy on sustainable cities. Bruce is a social scientist specialising in sustainable life in cities. Before we start, please give me a thumbs up if the sound quality is good. Okay, that's fine. Any questions you put in the chat, Bruce will answer at the end. Welcome, Bruce. Thank you for joining us.
Hey.
You must have been thrilled by the recent interest in sustainable city development. But what are sustainable cities?
Thanks, Aisha. Yes, I am delighted to see people's attitudes shift towards preserving our planet. Sustainable cities, then. The United Nations Sustainable Development Goal 11 defines them as cities that achieve ecological, social, and economic sustainability. How can they do this? Well, city planners need to focus on inclusive designs that minimize energy and water consumption and that drastically reduce air and water pollution and waste.
That definition includes most of the key words you'd expect to hear, but, well, all this sounds very abstract. Could you give us some practical examples?
Certainly. Several cities already deal with rising numbers of people and manage to protect the environment. Take Copenhagen. Copenhagen is close to becoming the first carbon-neutral city. They've managed to include crucial areas in their concept. One is transportation. Within the last 10 years, the city has invested over $300 million into bike infrastructure, and the cycle routes cut right across the capital city. The Danish government has also placed high taxes on owning motorized vehicles to discourage people from buying more cars. The public transportation system is excellent. The buses have been changed from diesel to electric. Even the boats that traverse the harbor have electric or solar-powered engines.
That's impressive. So would you say that transport is the key element for creating an eco-city?
Well, it's one of the core issues. Another one is how well buildings perform. If we stick with our example of Copenhagen, take a residential building like the 8 House in the Ørsted district. This innovative structure can be cycled up right to the top. And then the shape of the building allows for passive solar heating in all of the apartments, while the green roof provides excellent insulation. City developers need to use space on walls and roofs to create green spaces and generate electricity. An interesting example is the International School in Copenhagen. It's wrapped in 12,000 solar panels that provide the school with over half of its energy needs.
So, would you say that improving a city's buildings, installing solar panels, and providing alternatives to private car ownership are what it takes?
I'd strongly recommend such initiatives. However, any efforts need to go hand in hand with raising public awareness. The Copenhagen city government also educates the public with exhibitions of environmentally friendly architecture. One exhibition shows a model of the local waste-to-energy plant, which has a ski slope installed on its roof. I firmly believe that people need to really feel the benefits of sustainable city life.
That's a good point. So what should sustainable cities do to ensure the well-being of their citizens, apart from outdoors recreation on the ski slope?
Yeah, well, we mustn't forget that growing cities require land to build on. So in many metropolitan areas, green belts are already on the brink of being destroyed. City designs absolutely must include a fair share of parks and green spaces. No compromises allowed there. If space is a problem, create grass roofs and rooftop gardens.
Okay. And considering business, would you say that businesses could make a contribution to sustainability in cities?
Certainly. We all know about building in filters in industrial plants, etc., but I'd like to point out the major impact the tourism industry has on a city's ecological footprint. Once more, Copenhagen serves as an example. More than two-thirds of the city's hotels hold an eco-certificate, which ensures high standards of sustainable design, energy, and food. Think pizzas, burgers, hot dogs, and craft beers, all made from organic ingredients. One restaurant even has a rooftop kitchen garden.
Wow. Thank you so much, Bruce, for this input.
Sure.
Now let's look at the questions in the chat. Welcome to today's interview with Bruce McLeahy on sustainable cities. Bruce is a social scientist specialising in sustainable life in cities. Before we start, please give me a thumbs up if the sound quality is good. Okay, that's fine. Any questions you put in the chat, Bruce will answer at the end. Welcome, Bruce. Thank you for joining us.
Hey.
You must have been thrilled by the recent interest in sustainable city development. But what are sustainable cities?
Thanks, Aisha. Yes, I am delighted to see people's attitudes shift towards preserving our planet. Sustainable cities, then. The United Nations Sustainable Development Goal 11 defines them as cities that achieve ecological, social, and economic sustainability. How can they do this? Well, city planners need to focus on inclusive designs that minimize energy and water consumption and that drastically reduce air and water pollution and waste.
That definition includes most of the key words you'd expect to hear, but, well, all this sounds very abstract. Could you give us some practical examples?
Certainly. Several cities already deal with rising numbers of people and manage to protect the environment. Take Copenhagen. Copenhagen is close to becoming the first carbon-neutral city. They've managed to include crucial areas in their concept. One is transportation. Within the last 10 years, the city has invested over $300 million into bike infrastructure, and the cycle routes cut right across the capital city. The Danish government has also placed high taxes on owning motorized vehicles to discourage people from buying more cars. The public transportation system is excellent. Buses have been changed from diesel to electric. Even the boats that traverse the harbor have electric or solar-powered engines.
That's impressive. So would you say that transport is the key element for creating an eco-city?
Well, it's one of the core issues. Another one is how well buildings perform. If we stick with our example of Copenhagen, take a residential building like the 8 House in the Ørsted district. This innovative structure can be cycled up right to the top. And then the shape of the building allows for passive solar heating in all of the apartments, while the green roof provides excellent insulation. City developers need to use space on walls and roofs to create green spaces and generate electricity. An interesting example is the International School in Copenhagen. It's wrapped in 12,000 solar panels that provide the school with over half of its energy needs.
So would you say that improving a city's buildings, installing solar panels, and providing alternatives to private car ownership are what it takes?
I'd strongly recommend such initiatives. However, any efforts need to go hand in hand with raising public awareness. The Copenhagen city government also educates the public with exhibitions of environmentally friendly architecture. One exhibition shows a model of the local waste-to-energy plant, which has a ski slope installed on its roof. I firmly believe that people need to really feel the benefits of sustainable city life.
That's a good point. So what should sustainable cities do to ensure the well-being of their citizens, apart from outdoors recreation on the ski slope?
Yeah, well, we mustn't forget that growing cities require land to build on. So in many metropolitan areas, green belts are already on the brink of being destroyed. City designs absolutely must include a fair share of parks and green spaces. No compromises allowed there. If space is a problem, create grass roofs and rooftop gardens.
Okay. And considering business, would you say that businesses could make a contribution to sustainability in cities?
Certainly. We all know about building in filters in industrial plants, etc., but I'd like to point out the major impact the tourism industry has on a city's ecological footprint. Once more, Copenhagen serves as an example. More than two-thirds of the city's hotels hold an eco-certificate, which ensures high standards of sustainable design, energy, and food. Think pizzas, burgers, hot dogs, and craft beers, all made from organic ingredients. One restaurant even has a rooftop kitchen garden.
Wow. Thank you so much, Bruce, for this input.
Sure.
Now let's look at the questions in the chat.